being baptized in the name of Jesus. Praise God. If you belong to God and you have truth in your life, you are such a precious commodity. You are so rare and so precious. God will use you strategically. And you need to always remember that what seems perhaps like misfortune that takes you to a place you would not have gone could easily be the hand of God directing your path and ordering your step and bringing you to a place of intersection with a hungry soul. And people get the Holy Ghost, car dealerships, and we've had folks pray through in the back of businesses, and in the middle of the day, we can always round up somebody that'll baptize somebody. So we do this 24 hours a day. I'm excited when we're having baptismal services in the middle of the week. I don't know how many over the last 3 weeks, but we're on a run right now. Good things are happening. God's pouring out the Holy Ghost, and people are becoming born again of the water and of the Spirit. Let's stand together. We're gonna continue in the Word of God in a study of worship, and we'll probably make our way through this evening, but I can't guarantee you that. But just for the sake of a text tonight, so you'll feel like everything is in order, let's read Psalms 103 together, verses 1 through 5, and then 10 through 11. Praise God. Everyone say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Mighty God, as you're seated tonight, let's give him praise and let's magnify him. God, we bless your name. We praise your name, oh God. We lift you up. We magnify you. What a good God. How worthy. How worthy. How worthy. How worthy. Praise God. So for the last couple of Sunday nights, we've been working on some basic concepts concerning worship. And worship is central to the life of the people of God and cardinal to the business of being in covenant with God. We worship him. And worshipers are what God is seeking. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we come into this fallen and distorted and not knowing about God and all sorts of diverse backgrounds and heritages and ways of living and cultures. But we come in through the portal of the gospel into the house of God, and we become a part of the people of God, and we have to learn a new culture, and we have to learn the culture of God and God's people. And that just by necessity means we're going to leave some things outside that were once a part of our life, integral to our lives, but now they no longer resonate with us, and they no longer fit into the construct of the life that God has called us to. And so we come into the house of God and we have to learn how to worship. And it's always interesting watching people as they begin to learn how to worship. And in the Bible Belt and in Birmingham. And in 2014, it's a lot different than it was when I prayed through. When I prayed through, you only really had worship, Holy Ghost worship, in your old line Pentecostal groups like the Assembly of God, the Church of God, and the Apostolic Pentecostals. That was the place where you found worship. It was also the place where you found holiness. And it's very interesting. In the charismatic renewal of the late 60s and early 70s, people began to receive the Holy Ghost through all denominations. And Baptists got the Holy Ghost, and Methodists got the Holy Ghost, and Presbyterians. And they began to learn how, because it's organic to receiving the Holy Ghost, that you want to lift your hands, and you want to clap your hands, and you want to open your voice, and you begin to sing songs that are just bubbling up out of your soul unto God. And that is characteristic of having a life-transforming experience in the Spirit. Well, move that ahead several decades, and now in every church, almost every church sign you see some of them trying to hold on, and they say, we have traditional worship and contemporary worship. And what they mean in contemporary worship, the music is newer, and people clap their hands and lift their hands, and everybody has a voice of worship. I went as a child to worship services. It said so on the bulletin, but that's the only way you could tell you were in a worship service, because we sang songs that did not evoke an emotional or spiritual response. And one person prayed for everybody, and nobody lifted their hands, and God help you if you clapped your hands. And it was just a very, very different atmosphere than you would have anticipated if you were just a reader of the Word of God. And you read the word, and the word said, clap your hands, all you people, shout to God with a voice of triumph, praise him on stringed instruments and organs and high sounding cymbals and loud cymbals. And all of that comes to you by a cursory study of the Word of God. And today, so people come into the house of God, many of them have been exposed to some form of worship. And so it's not as barren as it once was in the area of worship out in the Bible Belt. So, but as we're dealing with this tonight, we want to pick up in the midst of a conversation that that worship really begins in the first meeting of God and man. And it has to do not only with music and noise and praise and lifting the hands. It also has to do with God's obedience to God's construct and standing in the midst of God's covenant and having yourself tethered to the Word of God. Jesus explains this very clearly in John chapter 4 when he tells the woman at the well, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so I want to suggest to you that there is perhaps a lot of clamor in our world that may look like worship, but you have to understand what happens at Bryant Denny Stadium on Saturday night is not worship to God. It is worship, but it's not worship to God. It's worship of all sorts of other things. But it is worship because it is clapping hands, lifting hands. Every now and then somebody will dance. There's shouting, there's leaping, there's joy. And that is a form of worship. But Jesus said true worshipers are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. The spirit there is a little s, and so it is important for you to understand that just the activity itself is not worship unto God. So you can move Bryant Denny Stadium worship into a place called a church, but if it's not tied up in truth, then I want to perhaps discuss with you the possibility that it's not worship of the one true and living God. Somebody say praise the Lord. No more than baptism. I mean, you can baptize somebody in the name of Hare Krishna, and they are, I suppose, in some sense baptized, but not in the biblical sense. You can baptize someone in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They are then baptized, I suppose, after some sort, but not after a biblical construct, because nobody in the Bible was baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's like three centuries later. You've got to understand this. And so worshiping him in spirit and in truth, you got to get the activity. You have to worship him in spirit, little s. That means you have to open up your vessel and you have to worship him. But it has to be, if it's going to be true worship and unto God, the only true and living God, the God of Abram and Isaac and Jacob, the God that robed himself in flesh and came down to the earth, and his name is called Jesus. If it's going to be worship of that God, it has to be in spirit. Yes, you've got to get with it, but it can't just be spirit, because that could be worship of Bear Bryant. That could be worship in a place that that burns incense to Krishna. There's all kinds of worship. It's only worship to the true and living God if it's worship that is tethered to the word of God. And so Jesus said spirit and truth. Truth is determined by the word of God. Truth is determined by a covenant relationship with God. Somebody say praise the Lord. We've talked about a lot of different types of worship and a lot of things that are descriptive of worship, and a lot of things that worship is. I want to pick this up tonight, and I want you to consider Isaiah 53 and 1. Worship is exercising will and choice. Worship is believing the report of the Lord, and by that, tapping into the revelation of the arm of the Lord. Let's walk through this. Worship is believing the report of the Lord. Everyone say, who has believed the report of the Lord? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You understand, this is a couplet, and in this couplet, the revelation of the strength of God, the arm of God, the delivering power of God is going to be given to those who have believed the report. Now, I can tell if you believe the report or not. Because when God tells you everything's going to be all right, and you're still crumpled up in a heap somewhere, and you're acting like your dog just got shot, or your best friend just ran off with your pickup truck, if you're acting in a way that depicts depression and sadness and sorrow, I want you to know you are not demonstrating that you believe the report. How are you doing? Man, I'm doing good. God has this in control. God is a good God. God is able. God is worthy. Somebody say praise the Lord. And so the fact of believing the report of the Lord is demonstrated in your lifestyle and in your countenance and in your demeanor and in your speech and in every action that you are involved in your life. If you believe the report of the Lord. Now, if you do believe the report of the Lord, then the arm of the Lord is revealed unto you. God's power is demonstrated on your behalf. Somebody say praise the Lord. So when you're in the middle of a trial, that's you just take out of the book of Acts when Paul and Silas are chained up in the depth of a prison, and it's at midnight and it's dark and it's unfriendly and it's a hostile place, and those around them, some of them have been slaughtered already for the name of Jesus, and they don't know what their end is going to be, but they're there and chained up and bound up, and what are they doing? They're singing unto God. And at the midnight hour, they begin to sing. I don't know if they were rattling their chains in time or not, but they begin to sing. And as they begin to sing, the power of God or the arm of the Lord was revealed unto them because they believed the report of the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. I want everybody that believes the report of the Lord, clap your hands, lift your voice. Tell somebody by you, it's going to be all right. I know it's going to be all right because my God is in control. Come on, does anybody believe God is able? Does anybody believe God is in control? Does anybody believe God has your life in his hand tonight? Well, praise God. I may live, I may die, but God is good. I may have the money, I may not have the money, but God is good. I may be sick, I may be whole, but God is good. That is believing the report of the Lord. God's report is not dependent on physical circumstance. God's report is not dependent on what men say. But rather, I've heard what God has said. I believe the report of the Lord. Praise God. I rejoice when I think about Brother Joe. Brother Joe Magnolia, and when the doctor gave him the bad news that he had the liver cancer and it was terminal and they weren't going to be able to do much for him, and he just kind of stoically and casually just told that doctor, he said, well, if I live, I live, and if I die, I die, but God is a good God. And he just began to tell him. That doctor teared up and began to weep, and he was shocked at that response. They had gotten a lot of different responses, but he had never got one just exactly like that, because Brother Joe let him know, God has my life in his hand. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die in the Lord. If I'm going to live, I'm going to live in the Lord. This thing won't matter much in a thousand years. It won't matter anyway. 500 years, I'm going to be dancing on streets of gold. It won't matter how I left this world, except I need to leave worshiping and praising and magnifying God. Praise God. I want somebody with trouble right now to praise God. I want somebody with a problem to praise God. And in your mouth, I want you to begin to say, I believe God. I believe the report of God. It may look impossible, but I believe God. Come on, God's a healer. God's a provider. God's a way maker. God is everything that I need. Come on, touch somebody and tell them God is everything I need. God is everything I need. God's got more than I need. My need are small. My needs are small. God's got it. God's got it. God's got it. Well, praise God. Worship is tapping into the arm of the Lord. It's tapping in by profession that I believe the report of God. It is a demonstration. It is a confession on my behalf that I believe God. Worship says it doesn't matter what's going on outside my life. What matters is that God has made promises, and his promises are sure, and God knows those that belong to him, and God has never failed, and God does all things well, and God is wise above my understanding, and I trust him. And so I'm going to sing my song, and I'm going to lift my hands, and it just doesn't matter what the world is doing. I'm going to give God all my worship. Worship is self-talk. Worship is prophecy. Worship is statement of identity. Worship is touching the memorial again. Worship is the confession of your faith. And we read where David in the Psalms says, bless the Lord, oh my soul. He's talking to himself. Sometimes you got to get yourself up and get yourself engaged in worship because of the crushing pressure of what may be occurring in your life. But you've got to stop and you've got to look yourself in the mirror and say, no, we're going to bless the Lord, oh my soul. You got to take, because the most powerful thing you have in your hand is the will that God has given you. Do you understand? You can will yourself to say yes to God, that you can will yourself to obey God. You can will yourself to say God is right and God is true. And that's the difference between the two spies that said we can take the land and the 10 spies that you don't know their names because they've been forgotten in the dustbin of history. But they said we can't because of circumstance, and we can't because of the giants. But Caleb and Joshua said we can because God is able. Friend of mine, you've got to exercise will. You've got to pick yourself up. You've got to, I don't care what you've been told, you're not a victim. You're not a victim. There's nothing outside of you that's stronger than your will and your God. You're not a victim. It doesn't matter. You've got a will and you've got a God. Some of you need to shout about that. Some of you don't believe that. Some of you don't believe that. You've been fed that. You've been fed that. You've been fed that. You hear it in the news and you hear it from the politicians. But I want you to know where you are right now. It's not going to be remediated by a government check. It's not going to be helped by a government decree. Legislation won't help you where you are right now. What you need is a move of God in your life. And you need to exercise your will and get something moving in your life in God. Bless the Lord. Come on, shout it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me. I'm going to bless God with everything I have. And what? And forget not his benefits. You want to be a worshiper of God? Drop all your troubles and your list of all your problems in the nearest dumpster and begin to list every good thing that God has done. Because it may be true and it may be painful and it may be a drag, but I tell you, you're not going to get any better by rehearsing what is wrong and what is broken and what is bad. I'm not talking about analysis for the sake of addressing problems in a real way. You've got to do that. You've got to evaluate yourself. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about sitting in a dark place where you've been for a long time and you just keep telling me why you can't because of this and this and this and this, and why you can't because of what somebody did or what somebody said or what your conditions are. You need to stand up in the middle of that and say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, and forget not his benefits. God's good. My God, I got health in my body. I got air to breathe. I got good things in my life. My God, you ought to start listening to good things. Somebody needs to open your mouth right now and talk about all the good things in your life. Go ahead. We got a minute. Have a celebration of all that God has blessed you with. Don't be looking at me. You ought to be saying, I thank you for my husband. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my babies. I thank you for the blessing. I thank you that I got a job. I thank you that I got a food on my table. I thank you I got shoes on my feet. My God, simple things, blessings. Who healeth all thy diseases, redeems thy life from destruction, crowns thee with loving kindness, tender mercies, satisfies your mouth with good things. Youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm telling you, God will satisfy you. God will satisfy you. The world will never satisfy you. Your flesh will never be satisfied, but God can satisfy you. Come on, you're hungry for something. You're standing at the door of the refrigerator. It's 2:00 in the morning. You're hungry for something. You don't know what it is. I'll tell you what it is. It's another baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's another meeting with God. It's another moment in the sanctuary with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Eat some of that. Eat some of that. That'll satisfy you. Praise God. Well, I go to church and I'm not satisfied. Well, yeah, you can go to church and be a harlot and be a whoremonger and be a whatever else the world is. You can come to church carnal as a brick. We're talking about worship. We're talking about going in and out into intimacy and out into the presence of God and out absorbing and drawing from and being blessed by the presence of God. You do that long enough, you do that well enough, you're going to find something changes on the inside of you. And though I hear Paul and he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Has nothing to do with money, has nothing to do with houses, has nothing to do with prestige or position. But if you're living for God and you are content in that, you are satisfied by God. The only way to get satisfied by God is not going to church. It happens there. It can happen there. But it's moved. Church doesn't do you a bit of good if you're not moving in and out of the presence of God. Praise God. If you're just doing church like a checklist so you don't go to hell, you got the wrong idea. This is about getting into the presence of God. If you're not getting to the presence of God, you're wasting your time. You're not, you walk out, well, I went to church last night, didn't do me any good at all. It'll do you about as much good as you invest in it. You got to worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. Praise God. Does anybody here have anything to be thankful for? He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. I just tell you, when I tell you I'm glad they let me in, I want you to know, I just look back at some places in a young life where I could have stepped out into eternity, and I might have gone and met God, and I wasn't ready to meet God. But then I wake up in the morning sometime and I think about, you know what? It's amazing. As high as the heaven is from the earth, so great is his mercy toward us that fear him, because he has not dealt with us according to our sins. My God. You know what? Calvary is a cover-up, and Calvary is not fair. People talk about, that's not fair. That's not fair. I'll tell you what's not fair. You get to go to heaven. He died on a cross. I'll tell you what's not fair. You get to walk around in a healthy body. He took stripes on his back for you. That's not fair. You want to talk about what's not fair? I want to talk to you about how great his mercies are, like the heavens are above the earth. Praise God. Praise God. Psalms 27, and beginning in verse 1. Everyone say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Boy, that sounds bombastic and brave, doesn't it? Here we are in the light, surrounded by friends, and the Spirit of God is moving. Whom shall I fear? But you get yourself off in a dark corner sometime, and things going bump in the night, and it's not just exactly like that, is it? The Lord is the strength. Say, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I've got God. I'm not afraid of nothing. That's what David's saying here. And when we're in the middle of this, it's like, yeah, I feel that. Yeah, that's exactly right. But when you get to walking out in the mix, and you get to walking out amongst the devils and Brother Arnold would say the dingbats and the devils, you get to walking out there among them, it's not so easy to hang on to your great confidence. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp around against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. I mean, I go to talking about prophecy tonight, and some of you who are apostolic are afraid. The end times are here. Well, yeah, that's a reason for celebration. The Antichrist is on the move. Yeah, isn't it great? The prophetic nations are in place. The sixth trump is about to sound, and death and mayhem are about to break loose all over the earth. It is, isn't it great? Some of you are not on board so much with, oh, praise God. I preached about post-trib at Brother Booker's, and they are dancing and shouting. We were having a good time. It was Sunday night, and Brother Booker and Brother Joel Booker were over here, and they were shouting and they were dancing, and he turned to Brother Joel and said, do you realize what we're shouting about? I just talked to him about getting our heads cut off for the sake of God. You're not shouting either, are you? David said, though a host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. What a statement of confidence. He said, though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Do you believe the report of the Lord? In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. Do you believe the report of the Lord? He shall set me upon a rock. Do you believe the report of the Lord? And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies. Do you believe the report of the Lord? Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And he's bold, and he's brave, and he's making bold, confident statements. And at the end, in verse 13, he said, but really, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, I know I'm sounding brave and confident right now. He said, but if I didn't know God had my back, I would have just fainted right there on the spot. He said, I'm not telling you this in my flesh. I'm telling you this about my God. I'm not telling you this about my performance. I'm telling you this about my God. This has nothing to do with your strength. This has everything to do with his strength. Worship is not about me and how good I am. Some people, don't you ever come to the house of God and say, but I'm not good enough to worship. It had nothing to do with your goodness. Nobody in this house is good enough to worship. There's not a good person in this house. My God, you're going to have to go to another church to find a good person. You're not even on board with that, are you? I'm just telling you, there's not a good person in this house. There's only one good, and that is God. But I will tell you this, we are going to worship because worship doesn't have to do with us or our condition or how good we are. Worship has to do with He is worthy. Somebody say praise the Lord. You have tremendous power in your words. Worship creates an updraft and carries you up into the presence of God and draws the presence of God down into your situation. Matthew 16, he's asking the disciples, he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say you're Elijah, and some say you're John. Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Simon answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. It's good that the praise group is singing and they're making proclamations about God. It's good and necessary that the preacher is preaching and he's making proclamations about God. But there's a place where this has to resonate in your heart, and you've got to begin to tie into this and your soul. Nobody can sing your song. Nobody can testify your testimony. Nobody can make your proclamation for you unto God. But somewhere in the midst of all of this, while the singers are singing, while the preacher's preaching, you got to stand on your feet and you've got to say, maybe unrelated to anything that's been said in the house tonight, you've got to begin to make proclamations about your life and about your home and about your family and about your marriage and about your body and about your job and about all the things, your area of ministry, all the things that are important to you. You've got to begin to make some proclamations. God is on my side. God's got my back. It's going to be good. It's not going to be bad. I'm going to prosper in these things that God has promised me. I'm going to walk in the promise of God. Somebody needs to begin to say, God is great. My God is great. My God never fails. My God does all things well. My God knows right where I am. My God has me in the palm of his hand. You need to begin to say that. You've got to say that. You've got to open your mouth and say that. Go ahead and begin to say that right now. Just go ahead and begin to talk about it. Go ahead and begin to talk about how good your God is right now. Just go ahead for the devil to hear and for God to hear and the angels to hear, but for your own mind and your own soul to hear. Lindsay, come on and help. Worship is focus. Worship is proactive. Worship is looking up. Worship is ignoring the negatives. Worship is saying God is able, regardless of what is in your life. Psalms 137, verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. I used to have an experience with God. but I don't anymore, because the preachers failed, and because the priesthood failed, and because the kings were bad, and because the culture was degenerate, and because God destroyed the place, and now here we are in Babylon. I wept. We sat down by the rivers of Babylon, and we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps on the willows in the midst thereof. Their harps were for their praise. Their harps were for their God. Their harps were for the voice that said, I know that God is able, and I know that God never fails, and I know that God is my redeemer, and I know that God is my deliverer. And all of those things were to be accompanied by those harps. But when they hanged the harp on the willow, they said, I can't do it here. I've come into a circumstance that's bigger than my praise. I've come into a season that's greater than my worship. And God, you'll just have to wait on my praise, because my feelings are hurt and I just can't praise you in a strange land. For there they that carried us away required a song, and they that wasted us required mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I want you to know, you will never walk anywhere in your life where worship is not appropriate. I don't care if somebody bundled you up and carried you into the middle of Afghanistan and put you in a Taliban cave. If ISIS came to your house tonight and wrapped you up and made a video of you and said, this is the next one we're going to cut the head off of. Hi, Mom. I mean, just take it as far as you can take it, how bad it can get. I want to tell you, there is not a season in your life where praise is not appropriate. Because wherever you are, God is there. Wherever you are, God is good. Wherever you are, God is able. Wherever you are, God is worthy. Somebody say praise God. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. Well, there'd never been a church like my church I came out of. I can't praise God in this different church. There'd never been a preacher like my preacher, so I can't praise God with this bald-headed preacher. There's never been, and you can go on all night with what used to be, but they said, I'm hung up on Jerusalem. If I forget Jerusalem, let my hand forget its cunning. They said, I'm tethered to the disaster of the past, and I can't praise God in the present. Sweetheart, Ashley said, don't say sweetheart. I want you to know that all you have is the present. You can't recreate the past. You can't tear the veil and walk back in the past. You got to stand right where you are and serve God in the here and right now. Call it real time and say it's time to be real. You need to get yourself unharnessed from everything that's gone on before. I don't know what it was like. I wasn't there. I'm sure you got a story to tell. But today, God is good. God is worthy. God deserves the praise and the worship. The power of God will visit you in your worship. The promise of God will visit you in your worship. Praise God. But all they can think about, if I don't remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, remember, O Lord, you've got a bad experience. Somebody abused you. Somebody took advantage of you. Somebody hurt you. Somebody did something atrocious in your life. And they're long gone. They might not even be thinking about it anymore. But you're bringing it to the breakfast table. It goes with you to shop. It comes with you to church. You feed it. You bathe it. And you get offended now if somebody suggests that you need to turn that loose and praise and magnify God. But it only will live as long as you cause it to live. And I want you to understand, it is not bigger than your God, nor is it greater than the power or the promise of God. Tonight, somebody needs to shake themselves. You need to shake yourself free from every hindering, lying thing in your past. You need to say, I've been dragging this along enough. You need to say, I can't dance with this. I can't leap with this. I can't worship with this. You need to loose yourself tonight. Nobody can do this for you. Nobody can do this for you. Nobody can do this for you. But tonight you need to loose yourself. Come on. Talk about the worst moment of your life and then shout over your enemy. Talk about the thing that hurt you the most and then shout over your enemy.
It's a struggle for survival. We daily meet our foe. We're out there on the battlefield, and at times we stand.
Come on,
alone.
Your soul is in the balance. You gotta learn to praise and magnify honor, and worship
I
God.
My shield of faith. I march.
Come
out
on,
to
Church
the
of the Living God. Open your mouth. God is great. God is worthy. God is greater. God is bigger. Come on, open your mouth and talk about how great God is. Get out and walk. Just get out and march. Just take a place in this house and express yourself. God is good. God is able. God is worthy. He's bigger than my mountain. He's bigger than my enemy. He's bigger than my trouble. your hands on them and just begin to pray down some glory on them. Pray for somebody right now. Pray the anointing. Pray the blessing. Pray the strength of God on them. Be used of God right now. Just a little bit, church. Press on into that. God's doing a work right now. Cause it to cloud up and rain on somebody. His name, come on, lift every voice, lift every voice. God is good, God is good, God is good, God is able, God is able, He's able. My God, He's my God, He's my God, He's my God, He's a good God and He's worthy. He's a good God and He's able. God. So, yeah. Praise God. Turn to somebody by you. Shake their hands. Look them dead in the eye and tell them how it's going to be. Tell them what God's going to do. Tell them what God's going to do. Tell them what's about to happen to your trouble. Tell them what's about to happen to your enemy. Hallelujah. to God. You sing as long as you like. You worship as long as you want.